This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Miss Louise, are you aware that quite possibly the biggest Tottenham Hotspur supporter is about to join us on FNR? I'm not talking Murray Shaw, I'm talking Michael Lynch from The Age. How are you, mate?
Yeah, all right, thanks. Yeah.
Have you recovered? Have you? Is your heartbeat back, beating at the normal rate?
Yeah, I had all day to recover now.
What did you make of it?
Oh, well, what an extraordinary game. I mean, you just, you just had to marvel at it. I mean, I thought, you know, when City went 4-2 up, I thought, it's probably going to be 5 or 6, you know? But then Llorente got that one back, controversy, obviously. And then that extraordinary last-minute drama, you know. I'm not a fan of VAR. I'm still not a fan of VAR, but it did work to Spurs' advantage on this occasion. So I'll take it, but I'm still not a huge fan of it.
You know, the thing about VAR is people thought they would bring certainty to the game, and yet we still have a situation where the one thing we're not quite certain of is just what amount of certainty we can expect. I think part of the game has always been you didn't like the referee call, but you wore it. And, of course, that's why FIFA went out of its way to make sure that you didn't see too many replays of what went on, so that you abided by the decision of the referee, and especially in some of the countries where the excitement levels can reach absurd levels. It was something that FIFA was very strong on. But at least now they're trying to educate everyone and saying, look, at those very, very controversial moments, we have got a resource. We haven't quite got it down pat, but we will go to VAR, which is the video assistant referee. And as they get more and more used to it, I suppose it'll be a bit like the cricket. In the early days, I remember how many mistakes we made when we first started with the technology at Channel 9. I was there at the time, and it wasn't quite perfect, but we persisted and got better and better and better.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's basically how it will work. I mean, once the genie's out of the bottle with VAR, it's very difficult, isn't it, to put it back in, particularly when you've got blokes like Gianni Infantino who seem to make it sound as if it's their life's work to introduce it, you know. So I suppose we just have to grin and bear it and get on with it, you know.
Yeah, very good.
I thought it worked quite well in Barcelona-Manchester United in that clash at the Nou Camp, because it had to be used in the 10th minute. The referee thought that it should have been a penalty when Fred got a nick on Rakitic. He was so confident that it was a penalty. He was told in his ear, go and check the screen. He went and checked the screen and then realised it wasn't, and it wasn't, and he overturned his decision. So I thought it worked very, very seamlessly there.
I don't care. It just destroys the drama, destroys the narrative flow. It creates a broader, more aggressive, more angry, dysfunctional narrative. I mean, how on earth, you know, just because we have the technology to pixelate, pictures on a screen doesn't mean we have to use it. I like the serendipity and the anarchy occasionally of wrong decisions, the kind of aggrieved feeling fans can have that we was robbed.
Michael Lynch.
On the score of things over a season, over two seasons, it does tend to balance out.
Michael Lynch, I'm in the studio with Louise Taffer, and Louise is a huge Manchester United fan. I don't know if she's old enough to remember a moment a number of years ago now, when Manchester United were awarded a goal, when the ball crossed their goal line, and their goalkeeper scooped it out. And, of course, the referee said, play on. And it was goal.
You're talking about the famous Pedro Mendes.
Masterful Mendes super goal that should have been registered on the scoreboard.
Well, it should have been, and it was that cheating goalkeeper from Northern Ireland.
That's right.
What was his name? Roy Carroll.
Yeah.
No, but that's something completely different. That's goal line technology.
No, that's not goal line technology.
That's different.
The camera
from
was there, and they could have used it. They chose not to.
We don't differentiate. But look, I think the only possible legitimate use of VAR would be for goal line technology.
All right. Okay. Well, we've heard it. The pain lingers for a great many Manchester City fans, but there are many, many Spurs fans, and Murray Shaw has got a smile beaming from ear to ear. Look, it sets up an extraordinary series of semi-finals now. It's Barca against Liverpool, and it's Spurs against Ajax. And by the way, it's not a cleansing powder. It's Ajax, the football team, right? Not Ajax, all right?
Yeah,
just let's settle that now really quickly. Adam Peacock is getting too many people excited.
Do they still sell that Ajax?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, and it's good cleaning product too, by the way. Michael, who are you talking about this week in The Age?
Well, I've actually had a couple of days off, so Wednesday and Thursday, so nothing in tomorrow, but I'll be back on deck Saturday. I'll be looking at the Victory Adelaide game and then throwing forward on Saturday, Sunday for the City game against Wellington, and so whatever the wash-up comes out of the Victory match. So focusing on the A-League at this point.
What do you make of the latest word from Wellington that their coach is leaving? Or has left, or will be about to leave?
Well, it's the worst kept secret in the league, wasn't it?
Most probably.
I mean, if he doesn't turn up at Western United, I'll
you go he.
I won't make any rash promises, but shall we say, I should be extremely surprised. I'd say it's $1.01.
$1.01. So there you go. Michael Lynch has broken the news. He is of the opinion that the coach of Wellington Phoenix will be going to Western United in the new A-League season 2019-2020.
I don't know about breaking it. I think that's another terribly kept secret, isn't it? Doesn't everyone assume that's where he's going to go?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's true.
Lynch,
will he take the goalkeeper with him?
He'd probably take as many as he can bring, I'd say. I mean, they've signed about, 10 players. There's no real, with all respect to Panayotis Kone, I mean, he's not exactly a rattling, get the turnstiles turning sort of name. I mean, they haven't actually got any dramatic names, have they?
I don't know about that. I think they'll do very well, thank you very much.
I didn't say they wouldn't do well. Ah. I just said they haven't got any kind of...
Well, they haven't got a Honda, but they have got a Kony.
But it depends what they're after. I think when they first started out, they were more looking to get some local talent from the region, which they've done so.
Yeah, they have.
Well, they certainly managed to harvest Melbourne City. Have Melbourne City become their feeder team, have they?
Jan Carvalho is gone now.
Melbourne City's youth team, has become their feeder team.
Well, Louise has been telling me about the youth team for the better part of the last 2 years, saying that you should go down and see some of the talent. And I remember going down and seeing young John Roberts, and no sooner had I seen him, he left the club and went to Western Sydney.
Yeah. Well, he was from Western Sydney.
Yeah,
and he went back home. I watched them 2 weeks ago. I called a game on that FFB streaming website with my son Joe.
Impressed?
When they beat Manningham 3-0, I think. Look, Manningham were definitely worth a goal. The 3-0 really flattered them. But look, players like Rami Nagerine certainly stand out when they're playing at that level, and that's why he's been involved, I guess, quite a lot at first team level. But the others didn't necessarily stand out in that game. As I said, I think the 3-0 scoreline rather flattered them.
Michael Lynch we're talking to on FNR, Louise Taffer, George Tanikian. Louise mentioned earlier, Mike, just before you came on, that it looks like a generational change is about to sweep over the A-League with a number of people calling it quits. Matt Mackay, the latest, after 18 years in the top leagues.
Yeah, Matty Mackay is at a... I wouldn't say he's been in the top leagues. He's been in Australia's top league.
Well, he played in the NSL and he's played in the A-League. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I thought you meant the top
league
globally.
No, he hasn't done a John Aloisi and played in Spain and Italy and England.
He went to Glasgow and was there only half a season, wasn't he? And then he went to Korea or China, I think it was, and was there half a season. But he's been an absolute sort of bedrock of the Brisbane A-League experience pretty much throughout the entirety of the league, hasn't he?
And, absolutely. And Broski's a stalwart
kind of squad player who's done a job. I think he's played more than 50 times for Australia. So he's done a remarkably good job with the Socceroos as well, filled in any number of positions, used at left back when they were short, used in midfield. Credit to himself, got the most out of himself and had a wonderful career.
As did Alex Brosk and young Santalab, who Louise tells me is one of the first people she interviewed when she got into the caper.
Oh, Santa.
Santa.
Super sub Santa. Fantastic. Another bloke who, really was able to make the most of himself and, popped up with goals. I mean, guys like that who just have an unerring instinct as to where to be in the penalty area, in the box, and can score. They are priceless. And you know, that's why so many of them do get contracts well into their 30s, even if they know they're going to be bit part players off the bench, because very few players do have that instinct where to be. And that's what kept Santa in the game for a long time. He got that lifeline from Popper when Popovic went to Perth, and that's where he's going to finish. So fair play to him as well.
And Lynchy, speaking of Popovic, Sydney FC are hosting Perth Glory tonight. How do you think this game will go, given Sydney FC have had the wood over Perth Glory in past rounds?
Perth have won the premiership. So, I'd say Sydney would be hot favourites for this, because Perth are travelling, maybe a bit of a hangover after the premiership success last week, and I'd back Sydney here.
All right, well, we're going to hold you to that. We're going to watch what happens later tonight at Jubilee Oval when Perth Glory take on the local side, Sydney FC. Thank you very much, Michael, for joining us. We look forward to your article on Saturday at The Age.
Yeah, well, there'll be more than one, I'd say.
Are you going to mention anything about our Matildas captain, Sam Kerr, being nominated as the Women's Footballer of the Year by the BBC World Service?
Well, I mean, it's a media outlet. I mean, what's the difference between the BBC World Service nominating someone and The Age or the Sydney Morning Herald or SNR?
Unless you can break it to me and tell me that The Age are doing it.
Media outlets, what makes one media outlet necessarily any more informed than another? If it was a FIFA award, if it was a UEFA award, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's like, when journalists ring up other journalists looking for quotes. Nah, not for me.
You're now reminding me of my early days in television when I was working at SBS, and anything that happened on any of the other channels didn't matter. Thank you very much for joining us, Michael.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but the BBC World Service, does a good service. But, if it was the Daily Telegraph World Women's Awards, would we report that? Probably not.
Thank you, Michael.
I don't get super excited and don't feel the need to just constantly be reaffirming all the time. People, we all know Sam Kerr's a top player. To me, she'll justify all the accolades. If Australia make the last four in the World Cup, she leads them there and scores goals and has a really good tournament.
Yep, that's 100% right.
It's up to her to perform now on the biggest stage. That's where the superstars prove their worth, isn't it? It's why there's always been a slight knock on Lionel Messi, you know, because he never does it for Argentina on the biggest stage of the World Cup, certainly in the way that Ronaldo did for Portugal in the Euros and
Pelé Maradona, for Brazil and Maradona, so on. Yeah, yeah.
Maradona did for Argentina, but that's another discussion.
Absolutely, for another day. Thank you, Michael Lynch.
Cheers.